Morning. So we've already had our introduction to our theme today, which is prayer, which is a continuation of what we've been doing on the 101 series. So it's a bit fundamental and quite basic, really, to our Christian life, but it's important. So we're going to go through it again, and we're going to think about it again. For those who are well-heeled prayers, I suppose you could call it, please bear with us, because some of us are just starting out. And anyway, prayer is one of those things which I think we have a battle with, don't we, throughout our Christian life. So let's have a little look at it again. So we've got a dictionary definition, the Oxford Dictionary, because we're British. And so we're going to go through the solemn request for help or expression of thanks to God or another deity. Okay, so solemn, that sounds quite a hard word, really, but it just means sincere. We don't have to be solemn and not laugh or be happy, but it's the sincereness of a request. So prayer involves communication, okay? And mainly that is through words, but it doesn't have to be words. Emotions as well are involved. It's not just words. So for some of us, talking comes naturally. Some of us, it doesn't. So, but right from the very beginning, from the tiniest baby, we start to communicate. So you will know that babies cry and babies smile. It's always good when they smile, isn't it? And that makes you think, yes, that's my baby. When they cry, it's his baby. And so from the beginning, we communicate and we have some way of wanting to get what we want. When it's a baby, it's all about me, isn't it? When we're babies, it's like, I need feeding now. I need my nappy changed. Someone needs to swap something else around here. Okay, so that's how the babies communicate. And right from maybe about 1 year, they start to have words. And a bit later on, they can string words together and you can get a sentence. And then they get to 13 and one word goes back again. So, yeah, that's communication and an expression of something. I don't know where it is when they're 13. Okay, but for all of us, we have different degrees in the way that we communicate and how much we use our words and how much we express ourselves. And that's not a bad thing. You don't, as Alan said before, you don't have to have a great command of the English language to pray. And it's nonetheless a prayer if it's only a few words. Okay. So going on to that next bit, it's a request for help. Many, many prayers have been, God help me, or please God help me if you've got manners. And it's a case of desperation. It doesn't just come from your words. It comes from the heart, that, doesn't it? It's people who pray desperately, God help me, are ones who are in trouble. Maybe there's a relationship that's gone wrong and they're devastated. Maybe it's our finances and you're devastated. Whatever it is, it's causing someone to reach out to somebody else who can actually do something about it. You know, when you are in trouble, you all know where to go to. You go to your mum. And then, you know, if she can't help, then you go to God, don't you? And so it's a case of going to somebody who can help, who is more powerful than you. You need help, you go to someone who can help you. And sometimes that raw, God help me prayer, sometimes it's said to from a person who doesn't really know God, who doesn't really know who God is, but they're just desperate. And God often comes in a situation where a person's heart is desperate like that and answers that prayer. Going on to the expression of thanks to God, we can all, you often hear, don't you, people who say, oh, thank God, such and such. And it's usually, maybe it's that because that answer came, maybe it's because they got the answer to that heartfelt prayer. Or maybe it's when something's happened and you find out, gosh, that was a near miss, in the car or whatever, or kids crossing the road. I had a near miss when I was a child. A big lorry the side of me like that, and I just looked up and he was like that, sweating. I've stopped. And I just casually walked across the road. But thank God that happened. that person stops. So sometimes it's an expression of relief and we say, thank you to God. But that's where our definition comes to. And then it says, God or another deity. So what does that mean? So for a Christian, we're talking to the God with the capital G. But for other people, sometimes, I've heard this in, you know, different people that you talk to. Oh, I just speak out. This is when they're going for a car park. I just speak out to the universe and say, get me a car, a space for the car. And it goes round the universe, in the systems of the universe, and then it comes back to me. And lo and behold, there's a car parking space. Yep, I have heard someone say that. So some people just throw out their thoughts and their asking to the universe. Some people speak to their ancestors. I don't know whether you've watched The Lion King recently, but that's all about praying to your ancestors and that your dead relatives will be there for you. That's definitely a, you know, I think it must be an African, because that was The Lion King set in Africa. So quite often the Africans, this is what they believe. Then there's other Buddha or different things. And some people actually have made things out of wood and metal and actually pray to them. I know it's not a Western thing to do, but people throughout the world do it. But for us, for the Christian, we talk to a God. And this is the difference between our God and the other gods or the other deities that there is. Our God has ears. When he created us to be able to hear. So he therefore understands what hearing is. He created us to see, so he understands what seeing is. So God has ears. Maybe he doesn't have fleshy ears like this. Jesus does, well, sort of, in a new body. But God is a spirit, but he understands what hearing is, and he can hear. And a lot of the Psalms say, when they pray to God, God, give me your ear, listen to my prayer. I want to know that you are hearing. And so for us, our God has ears. So when we cry to him, when we speak to him, when we communicate with him, when our emotions, maybe sometimes our emotions are so deep that we can't speak it, but God also with his eyes can see our hearts. And so he understands what our thoughts are, what our prayer is, what is in our heart and what we want to express. And so we have a God who has ears. We don't speak out to a system. We have a living, hearing, seeing, powerful, mighty person, God with the capital G. And that's our God. Okay, so that's the one that we speak to. When we pray, that is who we are speaking to. Otherwise, it's good, you know, it means that when we do pray, we know we have a listening ear, that God is there. The other good news about being a Christian and being able to pray is that we are communicating with the top person. We are not coming to somebody else, a creation or somebody who we've created, like a source of God that other people, you know, the people worship, which are made out of wood and stone. But it's God who is above all others, the top. You can't get any further up the chain. He is the top person. And I, a weird person standing here, can actually speak to him. That brings heaven onto earth. That brings heaven into my life. God brings that peace of heaven into my life when we pray. And so James also tells us that if we move towards God, if we make that move towards God, and in prayer that's what we're doing, then he will move towards us. And so we also know that God wants us to communicate with him. If you remember Adam and Eve in the garden, every night God came to speak to Adam, and he would, or in the evening, and he would talk about the day. And that was the communication that was there in at the beginning. And that is what communication we have now. We don't have to wait till evening, any time at all. We can speak to God and we can do that communication. And God wants us to. God is waiting for us to do this. And so when we speak to him, when we approach him in prayer, then he is always there. The sincerity bit is also important. It's not just a flippant way, and it's not just reciting words, which is a lovely prayer, but I'm just going to say them. That is not the way that God wants us to communicate. And I'm not knocking reciting words, because for those of us who don't have a good vocabulary, then sometimes looking at somebody else's prayers and praying them is one way to pray, and those words can express our hearts. What I'm saying is it comes from the heart. It's a prayer that will be sincere and from the heart. God is touched by that. Like we were saying before, because God is our Father, he will be touched by that and come to us and draw near to us. So that's one thing about prayer. Prayer is that connection with heaven and earth. Okay. But then that is about prayer. So that's me definition sorted. We understand it. But how do we pray? Now, there is a passage in the Bible about two people praying. It's a passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And it's about a Pharisee who was a very learned person who knows about God, who knows about how the God's law works, etc., etc. And then there's the tax collector. And we've spent many times talking about tax collectors, who were the non-desirables in that community. And so we're going to hear the prayer from the tax collector and the Pharisee as they went to the temple to pray. So this is a little bit of an example on how to do it and how not to do it. Okay. Am I? It's because I shout. You can do it silently in your heart, or you can speak out.
Hi, God. I'm a Pharisee.
And I'm a tax collector.
I fasted twice this past week.
I took the last of somebody's savings to make my tax quota.
I gave you a tenth of all my fairly gained earnings.
I kept everything for myself.
I said my prayers 7 times every day, just like the Bible says I should.
Usually I'm too ashamed to even pray.
You must really be glad to have me around.
This is pointless. You probably can't even hear me. You probably don't even know who I am.
Thank you that I'm nothing like those sinners, thieves, druggies, homeless people, who surely got there because they deserved it, and especially not this tax collector. How would you get along without me, God?
You know, he's right, God. I'm a terrible person, and I'm a terrible sinner. If you're even listening at all, God, just please have mercy on me. I'm at the end of my rope, and I really need you. I don't deserve your mercy. I know that, but I also know that I can't live without it.
And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay, that was Jesus' words. The Pharisee had a lot to say, all about himself, how good he was, how he followed the law, how he did everything right, and how he was a pretty good guy. Pretty insincere, really, when it comes to talking to God. The Pharisee, I know that that little clip explains it well, but the Pharisee in the Bible just says one short sentence, Lord, have mercy on me. And so, a sinner. So he was the one, Jesus said he was the one that was heard by God. That's what I mean. God does have the ear to hear, but he sees also the heart. And so when it's insincere, God doesn't hear us. But when it is from the heart and it is sincere, then God does hear us. And they were, that was sort of showing the right and the wrong way of how to pray. It's the sincerity. It's being humble before God, knowing who God is. We've discussed that. He's the top man. Oh, he's not a man. He's the top person. He's God. And when we come before him, it's with humility, and we've got to know our place as well, although we are very, very welcome in God's presence. Okay. So with a sincere heart, God heard the tax collector's prayer, but he didn't hear the Pharisee's prayer. So how can we pray? You can learn that bit about being from the heart. But then sometimes there's so much to pray, or we don't know. We need a structure. The disciples said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. Because they never asked, teach us how to preach, teach us how to heal, teach us how to do all these other things. Their question was, teach us how to pray. Because that's hard. It was a hard thing to do. So Jesus gives us what we call the Lord's Prayer. Where he gives us a structure on how to pray. So we're just going to have a little look through the Lord's Prayer, which we've found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9. Now, we've got the AV version, but that's okay. We can still go through it and try to understand it. Okay, so first of all, it's talking about who God is. And we recognize that God is our Father. And where he is, he's in heaven. He's that top person. You can't get any higher. And hallowed be thy name. That is to give God the right and the respect that is due to him. So God is our Father. That's great, because we know we can know him personally. We can be his son or his child. And then to realize that we have to be careful how we pray. We have to be respectful as we come to God. Okay, I'm sorry I keep turning around to do this. Thy kingdom come. We're talking about the rule of God in our area, in our community, and the rule of God in our own lives, that God's kingdom will come and be in our lives. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven is talking about bringing heaven again into earth, isn't it? It's talking about that communication between all that's right and all that goes on well in heaven, to bring that to earth. That dimension of things going smoothly, bringing that into earth, and to get rid of the things that are wrong. So thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it's asking for forgiveness. Is that where I'm up to yet? Oh, no, yeah. Give us this day our daily bread. So that's asking for our needs. God will give us our needs. He's promised. We've just been doing Psalm 23 in our, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so this is what our God will do. He will give us what we need. Okay. On earth, blah, blah, blah. Forgive us, thank you. Forgive us our trespasses. And that is, again, being that humble person, asking God for mercy, for forgiveness, but also remembering that there is a duty for us to forgive those who sin against us. That's the hard bit. That's the sting in the tail. And one of the verses goes on to say, God won't forgive us if we won't forgive. So just be wary of that. So there's that, the area of asking for forgiveness, the area of seeing that we are not quite where we should be in our Christian, we will never be there, but we can ask for forgiveness. Okay. Lead us not into temptation, asking God for guidance and to be guided in the right way. Deliver us from evil, asking God's protection on us. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, realizing who God is, who that kingdom belongs to, and who is the one in charge. And the one who has the power to keep us to do all those things that we ask. Okay, so again, Jesus explains to us who the person is that we are speaking to and his relationship with us as our Father. So that is a good structure to follow when we want to pray. I've also got little hand thingamajiggy. I didn't have this popped up on the... It's about just on your hand. You can have a little look at this afterwards. On your hand, remembering how to pray for praise first, then thanksgiving, asking for things next, being our confession, doing our, you know, saying how what we need God's forgiveness for. And then the third one, the little finger, is asking for our maybe what we want rather than what we need, and asking God for that, because he does bless us with a lot of things. Okay, so that is sort of like the structure that we can have to pray. So just finally on this part, before Hayley comes, we have a God with ears, a God who wants to hear, a God who will step closer to us when we pray, a God who is a loving Father to us, and he wants to give us good things. He wants to bless his children. A God who is powerful enough, who created the universe. And this is the God that we pray to.
Cool, thank you. Prayer is something we can talk about, and it's good for us to learn, but it's also something that's practical. And so what we thought we'd do this morning is we would have a go at praying, and we would do some prayer. And what we thought we'd do is we'd do some kind of different activities that might stimulate us to pray and encourage us to pray. So we've got four different practical prayer activities that you can take part in. And I'll just talk you through them really quick and then let you go off and decide what you want to do. And then in about 15 minutes, we'll come back together and Cher will finish off with what she's saying, and we'll close with a song. So in the new entrance is a bit of a prayer walk, and that's all focused on our journey with God and following the journey that God's got for us. And there's four different prayer stations, and you start at the end closest to the door and you work down to the one furthest away from the door, and there's a little reflection and there's a little activity to do at each one. In the back hall, the old hall, there's something called sitting with Jesus, and this is an idea where you just sit with Jesus, and there are two chairs set up like this. There are 10 sets of them, so you can't all do this one at once. And the idea is that you sit down and you imagine Jesus is sat in the chair in front of you, and it's just to help us to remember that God is with us and that we can talk to him as we might talk to someone we were having a conversation with. And you can talk in that one, or you can just sit and rest in God's presence and just recognize that God is with you and God loves you and he wants to be with you in your whole life. But there is a menu on the table next to where the chairs are set up with some prayer ideas in. If you want to have a look at that, that might give you some things to pray about. In the hall here, in the hallway, there's a prayer wall for those of us who are a bit more creative. All the people in our prayer list are on it, so if you'd like to pray for them. And there's just a little way of helping us praying. It says thanks, sorry, please. And it's just a method we can use for praying to say thank you to God for who he is and what he's done, to say sorry to God for the things that we've done where we've messed up, and to say please God for the things we need and the things that other people need. And the wall is covered in yellow paper, so you can write on there, you can draw on there, you can just sit and pray for the things which are on there. Some of our stuff is on there that we do as a church as well. And then in here, for those of us that don't want to get involved in those kind of practical, more creative things, we're going to have a video playing, which might stimulate some prayer. So you can just sit and be quiet and reflect in here, or you can get together in groups and pray for each other, and pray together. And if you want prayer for something, I would encourage you to just ask someone around you to pray with you. Everybody can pray. It's not just something that we come up the front of church and get prayer for. Our prayers, each of us, are just as valid as everybody else's. So if you want prayer for something, find someone in here to pray with you. And then we'll come back together in 10 to 15 minutes. Do whatever you like. Just be mindful that the sitting with Jesus is a quiet space. So don't go running into that. That idea is that that room is quiet for people to sit with Jesus. So just take that as it is. And there are candles in the one out here which are for lighting. Just be careful if you've got little ones, because the candles are on the floor. Cool. So 10 minutes. Let's go. Do whatever you like. Yeah, 10 to 15. We'll come and gather you up. If you want to stay in here, that's fine too.
Different ways and exploring different ways of praying. I do enjoy that chair one because it makes as though, you know, you have Jesus sitting next to you, and quite often that just encourages you to talk and to speak instead of thinking that our prayers are just going to nowhere. It gives you a bit of visualization. I'm a person who likes visualization, and so I know Jesus isn't sitting there because he's invisible, but the chair just reminds me that he is with me and that he's present and that he's close. That was my favourite one. But obviously everybody's different. And in prayer, that's the whole thing. It can all be so different. When we pray, we do a lot of talking, but we also need to listen. And sometimes that meditation side of it, we need to hear what God is saying to us as well, because God wants to speak back to us. So that's an important part of our prayer. There was a guy called Samuel Chadwick, and this is what he said. The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He can cope with a lot of other things. He's not bothered. But when Christians pray, somebody else said, the devil trembles. And so it's a powerful thing to pray. So it's not just something that is words going into the air. There is God reacts, God actions when we pray. And so we must remember that. Sometimes the answers to our prayer isn't what we expect. And I've just got a little story about a lady called Amy Carmichael who went to be a missionary in India. But when she was a child, her friend had lovely blue eyes. And she said, that they are so lovely, they're so pretty. And she said, I've got brown eyes. So she said, but God can change that, God can do anything. So she went to bed that night and she said, Lord, when I wake up in the morning, please give me blue eyes like my friend. And so she came downstairs, she went to the bathroom, looked in the mirror, and two brown eyes looked back. And she was like, no, that can't be right. God is able to do this. So she prayed again. When she went to bed the next night, God, give me blue eyes. I want blue eyes. And of course, the next morning when she got up, two brown eyes looked back at her in the mirror again. And she was so disappointed. Why did God do this? Why God, my father, who is so loving and so caring, why has he done this? And life went on. And of course, she became a missionary in India. And she was working amongst the ladies in India. And they were getting nowhere, her and her friend were getting nowhere at all. And then they began to think, they don't understand us because we're the only white people they've ever met. So they are, you know, sort of like the communication is a barrier because of our skin. So they had coffee and they darkened their skin to coffee. So very tan, that was it. And on it went and they had brown faces, and her friend looked at Amy and she went, oh, you're so lucky you've got brown eyes to go with it. You look so Indian. And she suddenly thought of that prayer that she made when she was younger. But God knew better. God wanted her to have brown eyes so that the message of the gospel could be communicated with the ladies in India. And so sometimes our prayers aren't answered the way we think, because God knows best. And so please be encouraged by that. So that's basically all we want to say. But we just want to encourage you to pray. Maybe pray different way. Maybe using different ways, different methods of prayer. The devil does want it to be boring. Who wants to go to a prayer meeting? Prayer meetings traditionally have been the worst attended meetings in forever, because the devil knows if Christians pray, things will happen. Thank you. I think we should just pray to finish. Is that okay? Were you about to say something? If we could have the Lord's Prayer back up again. I know it's the old-fashioned words, but it's something that we can do together. It's a communal prayer. But think about the words. Don't just trot them off, because we've all learned them in this language. If you're over 50, you all know this language. And you can say it, but think about it and think about what we're saying while we're praying. Okay. I'll have to look at the words, because when you think about them, you can't just say them, can you? So if we can just say this prayer together and be sincere as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen.
I'd just like to thank Sharon and Hayley for doing the service today. It was good, wasn't it? Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot for all the effort that you put in for that. There is a book on the back of the newsletter that has been there for about a month now, which is about prayer. I'm reading this book myself, and I'm finding it really good. So I decided to recommend it for you. You can get it in any good Christian bookshop or Amazon, right? Which is the easiest normally. Amazon's an online bookshop. Well, it's a store, basically. It sells everything, not just books. It's called Prayer by Richard Foster, and I recommend it to you. Having done what we've done today, it will help if you're a reader. Okay, thank you very much. Tea and coffee in the other hall. God bless you. Thank you for coming. See you next week when it's Mark Morgans is speaking, and it's an all-age service, I think. I'll put you down next week as this week. Never mind.
Yeah.